like developers start with it to tinker, to use stuff for free, to kind of see what's what, but they eventually kind of moved on to the next thing. Then before that, I went to the Emerging Tech Conference at DC with Alec, who I had a really great session with. There was just like so much there. The basis of our conversation was just like, how do we make openness as culturally relevant as it was 15 years ago? And like, we really did a deep dive into like reasons why it isn't, and like why it's become quite a buzzword, and like why open source doesn't even seem to matter anymore, but it actually does. Because the other conversation I was having about open source today, it was like, open source, yeah, it's become like the standard, so people don't even feel like they have to advocate or argue for it, but it hasn't really become the standard. It's kind of become like almost like this philanthropic thing that you do, or something that you do as like a freemium model. It's almost like a marketing pitch, and it's not like a real thing, you know? And so it's not like people don't resonate with the true benefits of it and the true like movement behind it. And so, yeah, like in some ways, open source is kind of like one and it's the standard, but not in the same way. Like if we're actually competing with the closed systems or like in this debate, like there's still no one or nothing that truly like advocates and argues for like its necessity and like why it needs to be developed further, and like why the products and things that come from open source need to be enhanced and like better and like all this stuff. And so I had all these cool like conversations where it has been kind of like weaving together, but I talked to Alec about it and I was like, just super jazzed to be in his presence because I nerded out. And I was like, I told myself I wasn't going to nerd out, but like, I'm nerding out really hard on you right now. Because I really admire his work.
I'm just stopping you right there to talk about like, what did you get any responses from that? Like, open source is a default. Why?
Yeah. So Luther, and then I had this, then he started talking about it with like a Luther AI, which I'm... A Luther AI?
Luther, like the devil.
Is that a thing?
Luther, L-U-T-H-E-R?
That's Lucifer, I thought.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Idris Elba. I'm thinking of Luther, which was you know, Idris Elba? He's a handsome man. He plays like an alcoholic detective. And that's, I always get them confused, Luther, Lucifer. Anyway.
Me too. No, so I got some interesting like responses. Like some, like I think the people from Luther kind of said, oh, like there's no, like people just inherently recognize the value of like transparency and giving back to the community and like working with the community. Like the things that we've advocated for open source kind of just already like are just known. And then I kind of challenge that though, because I don't think that's the full answer.
It seems a bit fluffy, but I don't think it's because I don't think that they're fluffy necessarily. When people ask us like, what do? We're like, we advocate for open source. Why? Because it's good.
You know, what's funny is that I said that I advocate for open source because the underdogs don't currently have like a leading voice in the fight. And actually the conversation was like, openness is not enough. Open source is not enough. Like you inherently need both. Like, I feel like even Hugging Face has always said that it's not just like open source or nothing. Right. But to take it in the full context, it's like, for me in this cultural movement, so we can transcend open versus closed into like, what does building the future look like? And, you know, how do we actually just collectively do that together? And that will require different configurations of a bunch of stuff. But right now in the whole open versus closed debate, even though OpenAI and other systems that are closed aren't actually making the argument, well, they are kind of like making the argument for closed systems, they're doing so in a very powerful and strong way. Like nobody, like, you know, you already have the champions there. What I've heard just repeatedly is that there's just no one in the open source world, like they've just decided to stay neutral and not be this kind of place that people can kind of like hook on or tether to in terms of like a lighthouse or a guide or like, you know, the voice, like the shining voice of. And like, I advocate for openness because in order to have the debate, you need to have both sides fully present or, like, fully known. And I don't think that, like, we've actually gone deep enough into the arguments and the cases and the movement towards and for open source, because it's just something that people do and they start with. Like, developers start with it to tinker, to use stuff for free, to kind of see what's what, but they eventually kind of moved on to the next thing. And companies like Meta and all, like, everybody who open sources something, developers are smart and they pretty much know that, like, they're just, like, these companies are doing it just to kind of grow their own community and eventually sell them, right? So it's not like open source, it's not like the argument for open source is actually being utilized. Like, we're just at the surface. Meanwhile, if you compare it, if you have, like, the other side of it, like, OpenAI is just deep down it. Like, they're there. Like, their strategy, like, of ChatGPT is, like, we're not, like, they have the whole movement encompassed in everything that they're putting out, in the way that they're, you know, distributing information and, like, marketing themselves and not having to market themselves. They've got their tentacles in everything. And, like, that's OpenAI, you know? And then you have something like Hugging Face, where I think that, like, a lot of people might have, like, in a few moments, like, would have thought that maybe they would have had a certain counter direction, you know, to that, but they haven't. And so there really hasn't been another company or another voice that has, like, been there to kind of set a tone or an example. And so I was talking to Alec about that, and, you know, I was just kind of asking him, I was like, well, you know, what made these things 15 years ago? Because people were really passionate about it. And I was just talking to another dude today about, like, how in 2014, you know, he was working at Microsoft, and Microsoft had this big moment in, like, that they wanted to, like, really push for open source. And they had, like, I guess there was, like, this one, like, pivotal moment where someone, like, a big, I can't even remember who the CEO was, like, some big CEO came on and he was like, I'll never use a Microsoft product other than Azure. And, like, that made ripples, right? And there was other, like, little things, like, 15 years ago that actually, like, were pivotal to people waking up to open source and actually using it for the sake of it. And, like, why that isn't now. And, of course, like, I entered my, like, psychological, sociological kind of arguments of, like, well, we're all just burnt out. Like, nobody has a cause worth fighting for, because nobody can fucking think straight in this moment. Like, you know, like, we're all just trying to figure out ourselves in this. And, like, honestly, like, I think that, like, not all of us, but yeah, all of us, I think that's what the moment's calling for. But there's all kinds of reasons why we can't cohesively, like, center around a cause or a certain narrative, because it's just so fragmented and, like, we're not as connected actually as we once were, like, 15 years ago when the web was just a little bit more straightforward. I digress. But, like, you know, what could make these things more culturally relevant and schnazzy and cool? And he's like, okay, well, you tell me. He's like, you seem to throw cool events, so keep throwing cool events. I was like, well, that's exactly what we're doing, but why are we doing that? And then, like, what's the drive besides that? And it was like, media. Like, you know, why are we using media? Why are we trying to, you know, do this? Is because it's not going to be one thing that helps everybody wake up to it. It's going to be a million little things that are just localized to certain communities, and it's going to resonate with certain communities. You know, people have to be connected to, like, the use cases of it. They have to be, like, aware of the utopian and dystopian futures of, like, what happens if it doesn't. And also, it's like, and again, this is just a stop in our journey. Like, the whole thing was, you know, someone was like, oh, you know, like, if you argue too much for openness, you're kind of denying the fact that, like, the closed part of it is actually also really necessary. And I'm like, no, that's kind of like, so to the full point of what I was saying, it was like, no, we're actually just advocating for open source and openness because we have to level the playing field. And then eventually the playing field is no longer the playing field. Now we're like, but, like, the idea is, like, get two sides to, like, show up and understand one another, and then transcend that. And then, like, hopefully the communal vision is, like, then once we overcome these, like, dualistic bullshit things that we have to, we're all working together to solve the big problem, which is like, okay, so fucking what if AGI is tomorrow? And what if like every system that we've ever known or operated on some like somehow just becomes obsolete and no longer works, and we're kind of just like seriously like straggling? And it's not any of us against each other. It's like us collectively, like how do we help one another, and like how do we make a better future?
That's all we have for this week's Behind the Scenes of The Thing. Until next week, make sure you're catching up with us on thething.co, our TikTok, Spotify, YouTube, and LinkedIn. All of our socials will be linked below.